Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:35 British Summer Time. Today is August 31st. Well, this has been a tumultuous month, with the majority of stock markets sustaining really quite severe pullbacks in the early part of the month. The majority found support on the 8th and 9th of August, had short covering rallies. A number pulled back, found support above those 8 and 9 August lows. And a smaller number have pushed on to new recovery highs. So they've posted a higher reaction low and a higher rally high following what had been a very severe pullback. And that's reasonably bullish in the short term. Over the medium term, we can stand back and look and see that we have a number of Type 3 top formations that have been completed in stock markets. And from a medium-term perspective, those markets will have to push back up into the overhead ranges, hold there, and sustain moves to new highs to really suggest that demand is coming back into dominance over the medium term. So there remains space for these markets to continue to unwind their oversold condition relative to their respective 200-day moving averages. But substantial additional advances will be required to really indicate that this pullback was nothing more than an aberration. Also, this month, gold hit a new all-time high. It rallied up to over $1,900 and then pulled back to $1,700 and has since rallied back up and retraced about 50% of the decline. It's currently at $1,825. The other precious metals didn't really participate. Platinum, which hasn't done much of anything for much of the last year, went right up and tested the upper side of its range and has encountered resistance in there, but has held on to the majority of its advance and looks like one of the better candidates to lead to the upside. The precious metals have tended to take it by turns, and gold certainly led on the upside on this advance, and it looks like it's going to be platinum's turn. Silver is also one that had outperformed spectacularly in April of this year and early May, but retraced very violently, falling from $50 to $30. And has subsequently bounced to $40. It's currently at 41.61. It has been ranging now for the better part of 4 or 5 months, and also looks like it can push higher in this environment. US Treasuries hit an incredible peak earlier this month and have subsequently pulled back to just under 136. Below 135, it will look like a completed top. Today's decline of just under 1.5 points completely countermanded yesterday's move and suggests that supply is increasingly coming into dominance in this current area. The fact that we've had reasonably positive performances on stock markets, the S&P and the Dow Jones are both stronger in here today by just less than half of a point. And the Nasdaq composite by about 0.1%. The majority of other markets in Europe were in the Americas were stronger by over 1%, Brazil by 2%, in Europe the majority of markets by more than 2%, some by 3%. It was also a positive day right across Asia, at least for the markets that were open. In the commodity complex, rough rice hit a new recovery high in here today. It completed a 2-year base back in July. It found support above that base and has subsequently pushed on to new recovery highs. Following the extensive ranging, it's got a lot of trading underneath it. A substantial decline would be required to really question medium-term scope for additional upside. Rough rice is the staple food of at least half the world's population, and substantially higher prices are a headwind for large numbers of people. What we have in here is continued inflationary pressures in the staple food complex. Corn has gone right back up to test the $8 level. Soybeans has been largely range bound for the last 5 or 6 months and broke its progression of incrementally lower highs last week and pushed on to a new high for the year today. So it looks more likely than not that staple food prices are going to be moving higher. There hasn't been any real conclusive evidence that Brent crude prices are going to fall back below $100. They did go back and test that area earlier this month, but have since rallied right back up to $114 and look more likely than not to test the $120 level. So inflationary pressures are certainly out there, and particularly food and energy prices are much more of an issue for Asian economies than they are for those in Europe and the USA, because those commodities make up far more substantial weightings in their respective CPI measures. When we have a lot of talk about whether we're going to have a fresh round of quantitative easing, and that means that the economic data that we have right now is deteriorating. The stock market decline earlier this year is fairly reflective of that. Everybody knows what happened last time, and that would certainly help to explain the increased volatility that we have in markets here. There's a lot of speculative interest, and we're seeing markets moving 2 and 3% both up and down on consecutive days. It certainly appears that people are starting to bet that there's going to be a fresh round of quantitative easing. That could certainly help to bolster asset prices generally. However, inflationary pressures remain a problem in Asia. They're not going to be able to ease their policy in the same way that the USA and Europe appear likely to. They're going to have to continue to raise interest rates and attempt to combat both wage pressures and commodity price inflation. Most of those economies have the happy circumstance that they're growing faster than their current inflation rate. That's also helping to increase the size of their middle classes, and the spending power of those middle classes is quite impressive. When we look at the Asian dollar index, we can see that the consistency of that trend is highly supportive of increased demand for Asian currencies. We're likely to have widening interest rate differentials between Europe and the USA and most of Asia. It's also noteworthy that the ASEAN region has held up substantially better, particularly Indonesia and the Philippines have held up substantially better than just about any other stock market. Following any major decline, there's always going to be one sector or a number of sectors that show clear relative performance. That continues to be the ASEAN region. They've done that since at least 2008. Shares in the cloud computing sector are another example. IBM, Amazon, Apple, they all remain within the confines of consistent medium-term uptrends. Now, there are plenty of other shares in the cloud computing sector that have pulled back very sharply. Now, they do appear to be finding support in here, but it's those clear leaders that are likely to continue to lead to the upside. We've had a Prior to early August, there was a high degree of commonality across shares that were leveraged to the growth of the global economy. But this month, we saw a marked divergence because oil companies, commodity companies, transportation companies, chemical companies sustained severe pullbacks this month. And those companies are leveraged to global growth on an industrial scale. And the major economies in the USA and in Europe are facing slower growth in this environment. On the other hand, we had major consumer related shares in foods, in cosmetics, in apparel, which have had comparatively shallow reactions. A large number have remained relatively consistent. A very small number, McDonald's is one of them, have pushed on to new highs this month. A number of those markets have also got, or those equities have got, very good records of increasing their dividends. They don't have world-beating dividends, but they have very good records of increasing their dividends over a very long period of time, 25 years in the case of US Dividend Aristocrats. Now, every time we see a sector, and we can identify what the commonality is across that sector, when that particularly following a major pullback, then that gives us an indication of what the next theme is likely to be from the perspective of longer term investors. And when we see that it's the Asian dollar index that is leading to the upside here and remains very consistent, it's not a massive logical leap to assume that it is going to be Asia which is going to be the growth dynamo over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.